world are diving. Hope comes and stops us in our tracks. Bravely we prove in our striving, trudging together each day. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Hello, welcome to Raw Recovery, a Trudging Together podcast. This is Big Book Thumping, Episode 3. Episode 3. We are going to be covering Bill's story today. Hopefully we can get through the whole chapter. If not, then I'll divide it up. Not sure how the segments are going to be going, but I'm sure that I will figure them out. So, we've done some work already. You know, we've taken a look at the forewords. We've seen how AA has grown. We've read the doctor's opinion. We've covered a lot of things already. We've covered the psychic change. We have covered the different types of people that come into AA. Now, keep in mind that AA helps anybody from having a drinking problem to a full-blown alcoholic. There are some people who come into AA who are not alcoholic, but have to go to meetings. Maybe they've been mandated by the courts, okay? AA helps all these people. There are a lot of people out there, there's a lot of stars that now understand that, like Adele is not an alcoholic, but she understood that alcohol was not serving her any purpose. In fact, it was hurting her. Alcohol is a poison. It is a depressant. Alcohol is a depressant, and it is 80% sugar. So if you are new in sobriety, keep sugar around. Keep sugar around, especially at night. Maybe you wake up in the middle of the night and have a craving. Have a little bit of sugar, and it'll probably go away. Now, as long as we do not have that obsession, it is said, and I don't have any proof on this yet, but it seems about right, that that thought will last about 60 seconds. So get through those 60 seconds. Get through those 60 seconds. All right. Let's get started. We're going to start with the set-aside prayer, like we always do. God, please help me set aside what I think I know about AA, this book, how to do these steps, how to get sober, how to stay sober, how to have a relationship with you, God, and lastly, so you can change me and teach me new things. Right, Bill's story, which will be on page 1, right? 1, sure is. We're done with the Roman numerals. We think that, because part of it is we say, read the first 164 pages. Well, it's actually more like 200, okay? But there's something about 164. I have written at the top of my right here, first speaker meeting. This is the first speaker meeting. How is it a speaker meeting? Because Bill is telling his story. Let's get started. I don't know that there are any in this portion, but remember that we underline anything recovered. Let's get started. Chapter 1. I'm going to warn everybody, my cats are meowing a lot today, so you're probably going to hear some meowing. All right. Chapter 1, Bill's story. War fever ran high in the New England town to which we knew young officers from Plattsburgh were assigned, and we were flattered when the first citizens took us to their homes, making us feel heroic. Here was love, applause, war, moments sublime with intervals hilarious. I was a part of life at last, And in the midst of the excitement, I discovered liquor. I forgot the strong warnings and the prejudices of my people concerning drink. It was time we sailed for over there. I was very lonely again and turned to alcohol. There's a lot just in that first paragraph. Number one, he's been warned. That means he had parents that were alcoholic, most likely. That's what I'm getting out of that. He was obviously a lonely person because he said, I was very lonely, and again turned to alcohol. We landed. In England, I visited Winchester Cathedral, much moved. I wandered outside. My attention was caught by a doggerel on an old tombstone. Here lies a Hampshire grenadier who caught his death, drinking cold small beer. A good soldier is ne'er forgot whether he dieth by the musket or by the pot. A grenadier is a soldier. It is not a type of alcohol. I know it can be. But, or by the pot, which is an alcoholic death. Okay. And we're going to try and avoid, though, that alcoholic death here. That's why we're here. Ominous warning, which I failed to heed. 22 and a veteran of foreign wars, I went home at last. I fancied myself a leader, for I had not the men of my battery given me a special token of appreciation. My talent for leadership, I imagine, would place me at the head of vast enterprises, which I would manage with the most with the utmost assurance. I took a night law course and obtained employment as an investigator for a surety company. The drive for success was on. I proved to the world I was important. My work took me about Wall Street, and little by little, I became interested in the market. Many people lost money, but some became very rich. Why not I? I studied economics and business as well as law. Potential alcoholic that I was, I nearly failed my law course. At one of the finals, I was too drunk to think or write. Though my drinking was not yet continuous, it disturbed my wife. We had long talks when I would still her forebodings by telling her that men of genius conceived their best projects when drunk, and the most majestic constructions of philosophical thought were so derived. Wow, huh? Isn't that us? That's us. Oh, yeah. I don't know how many times I came up with great ideas while drinking. The problem was I either never remembered them or I did not follow through. Everything seems amazing when you're drinking, right? I drive better. I talk better. I do things better. You know, this is the type of denial that we have. That is what we call denial. Give me a second. I am muting my phone. I'm not popular today, but it'll probably go off. So by the time I had completed the course, I knew the law was not for me. The inviting maelstrom of Wall Street had me in its grip. Business and financial leaders were my heroes. Out of this alloy of drink and speculation, I commenced to forge the weapon that would one day turn in its flight like a boomerang and all but cut me to ribbons. Living modestly, my wife and I saved $1,000. It went into certain securities, then cheap and rather unpopular. I rightly imagined that they would someday have a great rise. I failed to persuade my broker friends to send me out looking over factories and managements, but my wife and I had decided to go anyway. I had developed a theory that most people lost market money in stocks through ignorance of markets. I discovered many more reasons later on. We gave up our positions and off we roared on the motorcycle. Sidecar stuffed with tent, blankets, change of clothes, and three huge volumes of financial reference service. Our friends thought a lunacy commission should be appointed. Perhaps they were right. I had had some success at speculation, so we had a little money. But once we worked on a farm for a month to avoid drawing on our small capital, that was the last honest manual labor on my part for many a day. We covered the whole eastern United States in a year. And at the end of it, my reports to Wall Street procured me a position there and the use of a large expense account. The exercise of an option brought in more money, leaving us with a profit of several thousand dollars for that next year. I want you to notice something. Okay. Now this favored Bill on this one, but can you see the defiance? Can you see how he is not, he's a defiant little shit. Okay. Let's just put it that way. Now, and you can see how money is getting to his head. Okay. We alcoholics go through that. You know, when we sober up and we got to be careful about this, we tend to clamor for one of two things, money or sex. We're just trying to fill that hole in our stomach. I get it. And it may cover it for a little bit, but it's just going to be the same thing. It isn't until I brought a higher power into my life and doing things consistently that hole was filled for good. For the next few years, fortune threw money and applause my way. I had arrived. My judgment and ideas were followed by many to the tune of paper millions. The great boom of the late 20s was seething and swelling. Drink was taking an important, exhilarating part in my life. There was loud talk in the jazz places uptown. Everyone spent in thousands and chattered in millions. Scoffers could scoff and be damned. I made a host of fair weather friends. Fair weather friends usually means they're friends as long as you're buying. That's usually what that means. My drinking assumed more serious proportions, continuing all day and almost every night. All day now. Okay, he's already reaching a point where if he doesn't drink, he's going to start shaking. Okay. The remonstrances of my friends terminated in a row, and I became a lone wolf. There were many unhappy scenes in our sumptuous apartment. There had been no real infidelity, for loyalty to my wife helped me by extreme drunkenness, kept me out of those scrapes. It's the only thing that I was grateful for about alcohol. That my drunkenness kept me out of those scrapes, man. Thank you, God. All right. In 1929, I contracted gall fever. We went at once to the country, my wife to a plot while I started to overtake Walter Hagen. Very, very popular golfer. Now, I want you to notice, see, look at all these great things that Bill could be. Without much effort, huh? Without much effort. All right, liquor caught up with me much faster than I came up Walter. I began to be jittery in the morning. Told you. Golf permitted drinking every day and every night. It was fun to carom around the exclusive course, which I had inspired such awe in me as a lad. I acquired the impeccable coat of a tan one sees on the well-to-do. The local banker watched me whirl fat checks in and out of his till with amused skepticism. Abruptly, in 1929, all hell broke loose on the New York Stock Exchange. After one of those days of inferno, I wobbled from the hotel bar to the brokerage office. It was 8 o'clock, 5 hours after the market had closed. The ticker still clattered. I was staring at an inch of tape which bore the inscription XYZ negative 32. It had been 52 that morning. I was finished, and so were many friends. The papers reported men jumping to death from the high towers of finance. That disgusted me. I would not jump. I went back to the bar. My friends had dropped several million since 10 o'clock. So what? Tomorrow was another day. As I drank, the old fierce determination to win came back. Couple things on this. Number one, XYZ negative 32. Everybody makes a mistake and calls it dash, but it's negative. It's negative 32. Makes a difference, makes a big difference in this paragraph. Okay, what does that mean? It means you owe. When they said that people were jumping off buildings, they mean that literally. But what did Bill do? Oh, I'm not going to give up. Alcohol, in this case, he felt like was his friend. Well, you know, that fierce determination, that liquid courage. Next morning, I telephoned a friend in Montreal. He had plenty of money left and thought I had better go to Canada. By the following spring, we were living in our accustomed style. I felt like Napoleon returning from Elba. No St. Helena for me. But drinking caught up with me again, and my generous friend had to let me go. This time, we stayed broke. And here's the progression of the disease. All right? He was just a hanger-on. All right? He was just abusing his friends at this point. In our case, nowadays, we would call this couch surfing. We went to live with my wife's parents. I found a job, then lost it as a result of a brawl with a taxi driver. Mercifully, no one could guess that I was to have no real employment for 5 years or hardly draw a sober breath. My wife began to work in a department store, coming home exhausted to find me drunk. I became an unwelcome hanger-on at brokerage places. Here it comes. Liquor ceased to be a luxury. It became a necessity. Bathtub gin, 2 bottles a day, and often 3 got to be routine. Sometimes a small deal would net a few $100s and I would pay my bills at the bars and delicatessens. This went on endlessly, and I began to waken very early in the morning, shaking violently. A tumbler full of gin, followed by 6 bottles of beer, would be required if I were to eat any breakfast. Nevertheless, I still thought I could control the situation, and there were periods of sobriety which renewed my wife's hope. Gradually, things got worse. The house was taken over by the mortgage holder. My mother-in-law died. My wife and father-in-law became ill. Then I got a promising opportunity. Stocks were at a low point in 1932. I had somehow formed a group to buy. I was to share generously in the profits. Then I went on a prodigious bender, and that chance vanished. We alcoholics are really, really good at building things up so that we can pull it down around our heads. And we do that to give ourselves an excuse to drink. That is the insanity of the disease. I don't know how many times I went out and drank because it was nice, because I was excited, because I was happy. I could always stay sober through the arduous things, but when it came to the good part of life, I had a hard time. I had to learn balance. See, any emotion for an alcoholic overdone is bad, and it doesn't matter what the emotion is. I woke up. This had to be stopped. I saw I could not take so much as one drink. I was through forever. Before then, I had written a lot of sweet promises, but my wife happily observed that this time I meant business. And so I did. Man, we know what happens. He came home drunk. Shortly, I came home drunk. I need to put something in here, and it's called relapse. Okay. I don't know why we think that relapse only applies when we are actually sober for a certain amount of time. But if you have ever made a promise to not drink again and didn't do it, you relapsed. Period. Okay? I have a lot of people that say, I've never relapsed, and it's not true. You may not have relapsed since the last time you drank, but you have had relapses, period. Okay? Relapses still count even before we decide to quit drinking for reals. All right? Okay. Be a part. You don't need to be terminally unique. Okay? You're already beautifully unique. You don't need more. Trust me. Shortly afterward, I came home drunk. There had been no fight. Where had been my high resolve? I simply didn't know. It hadn't even come to mind. So I wanted to push a drink my way, and I had taken it. Was I crazy? I began to wonder for such an appalling lack of perspective seemed to be near just that. Renewing my resolve, I tried again. Some time passed, and confidence began to be replaced by cocksuredness. I could laugh at the gin meals. I had what it takes. One day I walked into a cafe to telephone a friend. In no time, I was beating on the bar, asking myself how it happened. As the whiskey rose to my head, I told myself I would manage better next time, but I might as well get good and drunk then. And I did. This is what we call the fuck it's. Fuck it. I'm already drunk. Okay? And it is the worst place for an alcoholic to be. Because when we drink on the fuck it's, we become indifferent. And when we become indifferent, we do not think about getting in a car. We are very, very dangerous when it comes to this. And I have to accept that it's a mental illness that I have. I have the power to kill other people with my disease. That scares me. Nah. The remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next morning are unforgettable. You know what he's talking about, don't you? You can feel it in your gut, can't you? You know what that is? You know what? That is the feeling of being a part of, okay? The courage to do battle was not there. My brain raced uncontrollably, and there was a terrible sense of impending calamity. I hardly dare cross the street lest I collapse and be run down by an early morning truck, for it was scarcely daylight. An all-night place supplied me with a dozen glasses of ale. My writhing nerves were stilled at last. A morning paper told me the market had gone to hell again. Well, so had I. The market would recover, but I wouldn't. That was a hard thought. Should I kill myself? No, not now. Then the mental fog settled down. Gin would fix that. So two bottles and oblivion. The mind and body are marvelous mechanisms. For mine endured this agony 2 more years. I did it too. I did that too. No, thank you. Sometimes I stole from my wife's slender purse when the morning terror and madness were on me. Again, I swayed dizzily before an open window or the medicine cabinet where there was poison, cursing myself for a weakling. There were flights from city to country and back as my wife and I sought escape. Then came the night when the physical and mental torture was so hellish, I feared I would burst through my window, sash and all. Somehow I managed to drag my mattress to the lower floor, lest I leap. A doctor came with heavy sedative. Next day, found me drinking both gin and sedative. This combination soon landed me on the rocks. People feared for my sanity. So did I. I could eat little or nothing when drinking, and I was 40 pounds underweight. I don't know about anybody else, but I didn't do much eating towards the end of my drinking. The other thing is this, if you look at this, okay, anytime I got a script that said, do not drink with alcohol, I got excited. Because I thought what it was going to do was take me back to that place of my first drink. Okay? And it didn't work. My brother-in-law is a physician, and through his kindness and that of my mother, I was placed in a nationally known hospital for the mental and physically rehabilitation of alcoholics. Under the so-called Belladonna treatment, my brain was cleared. Those are through narcotics. We still kind of do that. Hydrotherapy, drinking water, and mild exercise, take a walk, helped much. Best of all, I met a kind doctor who explained that though certainly selfish and foolish, I have been seriously ill bodily and mentally. It is. That is Dr. Silkworth. It is who you think it is. Yes. It relieved me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor. Though it often remains strong in other respects. My incredible behavior in the face of desperate desire to stop was explained. Understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. For 3 or 4 months, the goose hung high. I went to town regularly, even made a little money. Surely this was the answer. Self-knowledge. Well, why wouldn't it be, right? More knowledge about yourself and then trying to apply it. That, you know what, to me, it still makes sense. Right? But that's because I was born a certain way. Okay? And it makes sense to you too. And that's how we're not alone. And, but it was not, for the frightful day came when I drank once more. The curve of my declining moral and bodily health fell off like a ski jump. After a time, I returned to the hospital. This was the finish, the curtain, it seemed, for me. My wary and despairing wife was informed that it would all end with heart failure during delirium tremens, or I would develop a wet brain, perhaps in within a year. She would soon have to give me over to the undertaker or the asylum. Okay, so DTs come in a couple of different ways. Either you might get delirium tremens from the detoxing of alcohol, or you have so much alcohol in your body that you have blacked out, you've fallen on the floor, and now you're going to have DTs. And if you are not on your side, there's a very good chance that you will asphyxiate on your vomit. That is an alcoholic death. That's an alcoholic death. I've seen it. I've seen it. And I still went out and drank. Because my brain tends to forget. Now that I'm sober, oh, I remember. I remember. When I was drinking, I remember that stuff. I didn't. They didn't need to tell me. I knew it and almost welcomed the idea. Ouch, man. It was a devastating blow to my pride. I, who had thought so well of myself and my abilities, of my capacity to surmount obstacles, was cornered at last. Now I was to plunge into the dark, joining that endless procession of sots who had gone on before. I thought of my poor wife. There had been much happiness. What I would not give now, what I would not give to make amends. But that was over now. Okay. He just figured something out. Yeah, did you hear the effect? Did you feel the effect? There's one line in there. I thought of my poor wife. He finally thought of his poor wife. Okay. Getting sober and getting recovered are two different things. Okay. Bill is getting sober for his wife right now. Okay. And it's okay. Would he do recovery for himself? Well, obviously. Okay. So there again, you can get sober for any reason you want. Maybe you fell down. Maybe you stubbed your toe. I don't care what it is. It's enough for me. Because you know what? Your feelings are valid. Okay? Feelings might not be fact all the time, but feelings are fucking valid, my friends. And if you come to me and you're hurting, your feelings are valid. I don't want you to feel lonely anymore. I know what that's like. I want you, and I will probably never even meet any of you, but I want you to have a fellowship. I want you to experience what I've experienced. It's beautiful. All right. No words can tell the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I had met my match. I had been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master. This is Bill taking the first half of the first step. All right. I wish I could pause this recording because I have to go to the bathroom. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a little bit of editing. So it's going to sound a little weird, but I will be back shortly to finish this up, but it will not affect you at all. And we're back. All right. Thanks for letting me do that. Trembling. I stepped from the hospital, a broken man. Fear sobered me for a bit. Then came the insidious insanity of that first drink. And on Armistice Day 1934, I was off again. Everyone became resigned to the certainty that I would have to be shut up somewhere or would stumble along to a miserable end. How dark it is before the dawn. In reality, that was to be the beginning of my last debauch. I was soon to be catapulted in what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. And what he's talking about there is the promises. Those are the night step promises, man. Those are the third, fifth. Every step has promises in it. You know, I will cover some of them as we go along. Obviously, the first three ones, right? Near the end of that bleak November, I sat drinking in my kitchen. With a certain satisfaction, I reflected that there was enough gin concealed about the home, around the house, about the house to carry me through the night and the next day. My wife was at work. I wondered whether I dared hide a full bottle of gin near the head of our bed. I would need it before daylight. My musing. This is probably my favorite paragraph. It's my favorite paragraph in Bill's story. Because it cracks me up every time. My musing was interrupted by the telephone. The cheery voice of an old friend asked if he might come over. He was sober. It was years since I remember his coming to New York in that condition. I was amazed. Rumor had it that he had been committed for alcohol insanity. I wondered how he had escaped. That's what I love. All right, of course, he would have dinner, and then I could drink openly with him. Unmindful of his welfare, I thought only of recapturing the spirit of other days. There was that time we had chartered an airplane to complete a jag. His coming was an oasis in this dreary desert of futility. The very thing, an oasis. Drinkers are like that. Can you hear it? He had no welfare. Okay. This man's name is Ebby. Okay. And there is a story, it is an AA comes of age, about the time that they did a jag. I don't remember where it is, but so that is Ebby. Ebby is there to 12th step. Bill, the door opened, and he stood there, fresh skinned and glowing. There was something different about, there was something about his eyes. He was inexplicably different. What had happened? It's always the eyes. It's always the eyes. That's how I know. That's how I know if you're doing the work. Your eyes will shine. They'll shine. You won't be able to help it. What is that? That's joy. It's balance. It's what it is. There's a lot of times I'm in meetings and I'm listening to somebody, just listening to them grow, and I'll see myself on camera and my eyes are glowing because I can feel so much love because I get to watch this person grow when they were there 30 days ago crying about everything going on in their life. Yeah. I pushed a drink across the table. He refused it, disappointed but curious. I wonder what I've gotten into the fellow. He wasn't himself. Come on, what's all this about? I queried. He looked straight at me, simply but smiling. He said, I've got religion. Right there, you're going to want to put Oxford Group and then a little slash Christianity. And Oxford Groups are still around. Yep. So the Oxford Group has six tenets, and we stole those, and Bill expanded on those. So AA, it wasn't an original thought. It was stolen. Yeah, you bet. You bet. Okay. We'll find out more now. I was aghast. So that was it. Last summer, an alcoholic crackpot. Now I suspected a little cracked about religion. He had that starry look, all right. Yes, the old boy was on fire, all right. That's where the all right is. But bless his heart, let him rant. Besides, my gin would last longer than his preaching. Here's the cool part, but he did no ranting. In a matter-of-fact way, he told how two men had appeared in court, persuading the judge to suspend his commitment. They had told him of a simple religious idea and practical program of action. That was 2 months ago, and the result was self-evident. It worked. Okay, I have written in my book right next to that, religious prejudice. That we cannot be prejudiced, okay? And I used to be very prejudiced against religion, but that was just me being self-satisfied so I could put other people down. We'll get a lot more into that in We Agnostics. He had come to pass his experience along to me if I cared to have it. I was shocked, but interested. Certainly I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. He talked for hours. Childhood memories rose before me. I could almost hear the sound of the preacher's voice as I sat on still Sundays, way over there on the hillside. There was that pro-offered temperance pledge I never signed. My grandfather's good-natured contempt of some church folk and their doings. His insistence that the spheres really had their music. But his denial of the preacher's right to tell him how he must listen. His fearlessness as he spoke of these things just before he died. These recollections welled up from the past. They made me swallow hard. That wartime day in old Winchester Cathedral came back again. Let's go back to it. Here lies a Hampshire grenadier who caught his death drinking cold small beer. A good soldier is near forgot, whether he died by the musket or the pot. I'd always believed in a power greater than myself. I'd often ponder these things. I was not an atheist. Few people really are. For that means blind faith in a strange proposition that this universe originated in a cipher and aimlessly rushes nowhere. My intellectual heroes, the chemists, the astronomers, even the evolutionists, suggested vast laws and forces at work despite contrary indications. I had little doubt that a mighty purpose and rhythm underlay it all. How could there have been so much precise and immutable law and no intelligence? I simply had to believe in a spirit of the universe who knew neither time nor limitation, but that was as far as I had gone. I like that we put time in there. Okay? Time does not qualify you for anything. Not really. I mean, we get our milestones, we get our birthdays, but we cannot use, I noticed that a lot of people use time for success, and that's not success, that's time. A success is helping somebody else out. That's success, just as an example. With ministers, the world and world's religions, I parted right there. When they talked of God personal to me, who is love, superhuman in strength, I became irritated and my mind snapped shut against such a theory. To Christ, I conceded the certainty of a great man, not too closely followed by those who claimed him. His moral teachings, most excellent. I always have to do that. Sorry, but it is excellent. For myself, we got to have some fun with this, okay? We got to have some fun. I'm going to crack jokes. We have fun here. I adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I disregarded. So he took what he thought was right, and, you know, I did the same thing. I did the same exact thing. I've always believed in something bigger than me. I always have. But I never really went out of my way to seek them. And that's where the difference came in. All right, the wars which had been fought, the burnings and chicanery the religious disputes had facilitated, made me sick. I honestly doubted whether on balance the religions of mankind had done any good. Judging from what I had seen in Europe and since, the power of God in human affairs was negligible. The brotherhood of man, a grim jest. If there was a devil, he seemed boss universal, and he certainly had me. I want to talk on that a little bit. I know it feels a little too religion-y, and I'm sorry. But yet, let's use yet. It's quite often that I feel spiritually attacked. Yes. If there is a higher power, there's got to be something offsetting it. That's what logic dictates anyway for me. And I'm talking in my experience. Okay, well, I can't ignore that. So how am I going to deal with that without getting too religion-y? Okay. I'm gonna fill you in on a little secret beforehand here. Find out how dangerous you are and pull it back. And that will help solve that problem. Find out exactly how dangerous you are. So you're going to have to look in, oh, you know what? When I drink, I get in cars and I could kill somebody's little kid. But I'm even more dangerous than that. I can level whole communities. I can destroy a neighborhood with my chicanery. Okay? Just some food for thought. But my friend sat before me and he made point blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up. Like I myself, he admitted complete defeat. Then he had in effect been raised from the dead and suddenly taken from the scrap heap of life, a level of life better than the rest he had ever known. Okay, what is Bill going through here? He's going through the psychic change. He's understanding, Bill, second half of first step, the unmanageability of life. He had become hopeless, incurable, complete defeat. Had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at that minute. And this was none at all. That floored me. It began to look as though religious people were right after all. Here was something at work in a human heart, which had done the impossible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past. Here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. He shouted great tidings. I think it would only be Ebby and God that got through to Bill and his thick skull, but it worked. Okay. Bill is about to go on the busiest, most excellent adventure of his life. Okay. So Bill's about to have a sudden and very, very sweeping spiritual experience. Not all spiritual experiences are like that. Let's remember that there's also the educational variety where we learn over time. I did not get a burning bush. I'm too reactive, but God did this for a reason. He did it for a reason with Bill. That's why it's perfect. Even with all the crap, the humanness, it's still perfect. All right. I love this next paragraph. It's short, but it tells us so much. I saw that my friend was much more than inwardly reorganized. He was on different footing. His roots grasped new soil. That is the difference between Ebby and Bill right now, and it is the only difference. Okay. Despite the living example of my friend, there remained in me the vestiges of my old prejudice. The word God still arouses certain antipathy. When the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me, this feeling was intensified. It scared me. Because I was taught not to be weak. I taught that this was weakness as a man. And it was wrong. I was incorrect. I was taught incorrectly. I didn't like the idea. I could go for such conception as creative intelligence, universal mind, or spirit of nature. But I resisted the thought of a czar of the heavens, however loving his sway might be. I have since talked with scores of men who felt the same way. Right? Now, up there, despite the living example, we're going to write resentments. Because that's the vestiges of our old prejudice, okay? My friend, and you're going to write sponsor next to that, okay? Because Ebby was Bill's sponsor. And I think I already covered how sponsorship works, okay? How it originally started, anyway. Suggested seemed a novel idea. Why don't you choose your own conception of God? Kevin, an alcoholic choices here, man. That statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. Bam! Wow. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required to make my beginning. I saw that the growth could be start. I saw that growth could start from that point. Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my old friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. That was Bill taking the first step. He just took the first step. Thus, I was convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough. At long last, I saw, I felt, I believed. Scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A new world came into view. The real significance of my experience in the cathedral burst upon me. For a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. But soon, the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. And so it has been ever since. How blind I had been. Worldly clamors. There's a bunch of worldly clamors going on right now. Okay? We can't get caught up in those. We can't get caught up in those. We need to stay focused on what it is that we do. Okay? And if I go out there in worldly clamors, I start fighting again. I bring in my own opinion where it doesn't belong. Things like that. At the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. Treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of DTs. There, I humbly offered myself to God as I then understood him to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself, I was nothing, that without him, I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend, which is God, take them away, root, branch, and all. I have not had a drink since. That is him taking the third step. Can you write third step? My schoolmate visited me. I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. We made a list of people I had hurt or to whom I felt resentment. I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to right all such matters. We know what this is. This is the fourth and fifth step. Going into six and seven. Remember that Oxford Group had six steps or six tenets, as they call them. Okay. He's going to go into the tenth step here. I was to test my thinking on a new God consciousness within. Common sense would then become uncommon sense. I was to sit quietly in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. Never was I to pray for myself, except as my request to bore my usefulness to others. Then only might I expect to receive, but that would be in great measure. And there he is taking the 10th and 11th step, that 11th step of meditation, which is extremely important. Very, very important. My friend promised when these things were done, I would enter upon a new relationship with my creator, that I would have the elements of the way of a way of living, which answered all my problems. Belief in the power of God, plus enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain a new order of things were the essential requirements. Could you imagine such a change? I mean, his whole thought process was changed. And that could be nothing short of a miracle. Simple, but not easy. Yeah, this is a simple program. If it is not simple, you're not in the program. It meant the destruction of self-centeredness, which is going to be all of me because I'm a self-centered person. I must turn in all things to the Father of light who presides over us. Okay. all of it, good and bad, because my brain doesn't know good and bad yet. It doesn't. If it did, I wouldn't act the way that I act. Okay? I have to rewire my brain. I need a new way of thinking. These were revolutionary and drastic proposals, but the moment I fully accepted them, which is the destruction of self-centeredness, there was a victory followed by such a peace and serenity that I had never known. There was utter confidence. I felt lifted up as though the great clean wind of a mountain top blew through and through. God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. For a moment, I was alarmed, and I called my friend the doctor to ask if I were still sane. He listened in wonder as I talked. Finally, he shook his head, saying, "Something happened to you. I don't understand, but you better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were." The good doctor now sees many men who have such experience. He knows that they are real. While I lay in the hospital, the thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad what had been so freely given to me. Perhaps I could help some of them. They, in turn, might work with the others. There it is, that 12th step of paying it forward, understanding, My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly, it was imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works is dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through the work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. If he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it's just like that. It's the way that it is. It is what it is. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. My wife and I abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping others, other alcoholics, to a solution of their problems. It was fortunate, for my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found little work. I was not too well at the time and was plunged into waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but I soon found that when all other measures fail, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Underline that. Underline it. It's your answer. I say this quite a lot. If you are in self-pity, help another person. I know what you want to do is go write a gratitude list, but you're in self. Get out of self. Writing that list is selfish at the moment. You're just thinking about you. Oh, now that I feel grateful about these things, I feel better about myself. It's a Band-Aid. Gratitude is a dividend from it. I get more gratitude from helping somebody else than I do from writing a list. I'm not saying gratitude lists are wrong. I'm just saying maybe help another alcoholic first, then go write your gratitude list. Many times I've gone to my own hospital in despair. I'm talking to a man there. I'd be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It is a design for living that works in rough going. We commenced to make many fast friends, and fellowship has grown up among us, of which is a wonderful thing to feel a part of. The joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty. I've seen hundreds of families set their feet in the path that really goes somewhere. I've seen the most impossible domestic situations righted, feuds of bitterness of all sorts wiped out. I've seen men come out of asylums and resume a vital place in the lives of their families and communities. Business and professional men have regained their standing. There is scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome among us. In one Western city and its environs, there are 1,000 of us in our families. We meet frequently so that the newcomer may find the fellowship they seek. At these informal gatherings, one may often see from 50 to 200 persons. We are growing in numbers and power. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. Okay. Before we get to the rest of this, okay, we deal with death here. Yeah. It's unfortunate. It's hard sometimes. But then there's also a lot of times when people die sober. That's what step 13 used to mean. Step 13 used to mean that you died sober. Now it's become something ugly. Why do we always have to do that? We need to switch it back, but too late now. Too late now, unfortunately. There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity, but just underneath there is a deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. Each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. It would have been a year and a half old. So, that talk in Bill's kitchen turned into a wide circle. And you can do the same thing in your own communities. You can do the same thing if you follow the directions in the big book. Okay? The 12 by 12 is a great place to go. Also, if you want to figure out how to start a meeting or anything like that. So, what did we learn today? Well, we learned that this disease is progressive. And it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how knowledgeable you are. It doesn't matter. Without a higher power of some sort or something bigger than us, we do not seem to be able to get and stay sober. And once we get sober and something that has been freely given to us, we must give it back. If you do not give away, you cannot keep your precious gift. You can't. So now we understand fully here. We're getting there. So this is the last part of Bill's story. Next, we will be going to There Is a Solution, where we will be going in more depth on step one. That's right. We're now getting to step one. So congratulations on completing the step before the steps. Yeah. All right. I hope everybody enjoyed it, and I certainly hope it was helpful. I love you. Peace out, and have a day.